You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Getting ready for Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos. There's so much literature written on Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos, so many shiurim, because it doesn't come up so often. We had it twice in the past few years, but I think it's only going to be twice in the next 20 some odd years. So it comes and goes, and this year we're Baruch Hashem have the opportunity. One thing that's nice about Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos is that when you come to the Seder, the first Seder, you're rested. You could have a nap before the first Seder, so that ends up being very nice to be able to get a good nap in the afternoon. I was always, I was never jealous of my brother in Eretz Yisrael, who only has one Seder. And what happens the first Seder, you come, you're exhausted, you come to that first Seder, and after that, you don't have a second chance. I always find that in my family, the second Seder is always much better because everybody had a nap, both parents and children alike. So that's my own experience. But I guess in Eretz Yisrael, they have more Kedusha. So what they could do in one day, it takes us 2 days to accomplish. My goal this evening is to run through the halachos in a general overview. We're not going to be going in depth into any given halacha, but we're going to go through many different points, jumping from one point to the next point, and hopefully cover many of the practical applications of Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos. If you do have questions, I'm very happy to take them. Maybe we'll have a question and answer at the end. So if you want to text me in the middle of shiur, if you want to put on the chat and I'll look at the chat afterwards, or if you want to just ask me verbally afterwards, that's great, but we'll save the questions so I don't lose the flow while we're going. Okay, so number one, theoretically, Tanis Bechoros should be on Shabbos. Of course, we can't have Tanis Bechoros on Shabbos, so we don't want to pull it. Once it's a Nidcha, we're not going to be in Docha to Friday because you don't want to do it on Erev Shabbos either, so you don't come into Shabbos hungry. So it's actually interesting because if you look in the Shulchan Aruch presents two different possibilities of when Tanis Bechoros should take place. The first opinion is that, well, let's do it on Thursday, which is what you and I do. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'yesh omrim she'enam mis'anim klal," that the Bechoros don't have to fast at all this year. Since on the Erev Pesach, they're not going to fast, they don't have to fast at all. So that's one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch that the Shulchan Aruch leaves as two opinions. He doesn't paskin. The Ramah, however, says that we should be noheg like the first opinion who says that we fast on Thursday, but it's important to keep in mind that this year the fast is a little bit lighter on two counts. Number one, it's pulled on the wrong day. And number two, there's this opinion of the Shulchan Aruch that you don't even have to fast at all if it's going to occur in this framework. So that's one important idea to have for those who are Bechoros. But of course, nowadays, most Bechoros do attend the Siyum. It happens to be, if those, I have some students out of town, and for them, if you're out of town, it's a little bit more difficult to find the Siyum, and the halachs of Sudas of Tanis Bechoros is more applicable. It is important to know that, of course, after Tanis Bechoros on Thursday, we'll do the Bedikas Chametz on Thursday night. You can't do it on Friday night, which is really the night of Bedikas Chametz, because you can't hold a candle. And we know that Bedikas Chametz must have a candle or a flashlight for those who are so inclined, which is probably better nowadays. So the question is, let's say somebody was fasting all day for Tanis Bechoros. Now, if they want to do a proper, now we know you're not allowed to eat after, you know, you're not supposed to eat before the before Bedikas Chametz. Now, in a normal year, your Tanis Bechoros is one day. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. In a normal year, the night before Pesach, you have Bedikas Chametz, and the next day is Tanis Bechoros. But this year, since we pulled Tanis Bechoros back to Thursday, so Tanis Bechoros is on Thursday. If a person's fasting, they're going to come to the nighttime. We know the halacha is, before you do Bedikas Chametz, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to learn. You're not allowed to do other things. You have to start working, doing the mitzvah right away, Bedikas Chametz. So this year could come out, if somebody's fasting, they're going to fast a long day, right? It's a long day this time of year. And then after that, they're going to have to take an hour and do Bedikas Chametz on an empty stomach. It's not going to be so easy. But that is indeed the halacha, that theoretically one would not be able to eat until after they do the Bedikas Chametz. So the Mishnah Berurah realizes that's not so easy. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, although you're not allowed to have a meal, a seuda, but if you're, you know, if you're tired, it's going to be hard to do a proper Bedika. So even though you cannot have a seuda to break your fast, but you can have a little snack to break your fast, on which to break your fast, and then go do the Bedika with a little bit of food in your belly, But what you do see is that even though it is a nidcha, there is still the halacha. What I'm trying to draw out from that, even for those of you who are not fasting, who are not becharos, who go to siyum, what I'm trying to draw out is the following. That this year, even though the bedikas chametz is pulled back a day early, there's still an iser to eat before the bedika. So you might have thought maybe there's only an iser to eat on the real night, on the Erev Pesach. No, even this year, you have an iser to eat on Thursday night. Once you come home from Maariv, you should not be getting involved in any other activities. You should go straight ahead once Tzeis arrives and begin your bedika. Next point, bir chametz. Bir chametz is, of course, on Erev Pesach. And this year, you can't light a fire on Erev Pesach, so we pull it a day early. We do it on Friday. Of course, since it's Friday, which is a day and a half, 2 days before Pesach, you could really eat and buy and sell chametz, as I mentioned, between Mincha Ma'ariv, all day on Friday. So theoretically, you don't have to burn your chametz in the morning. You could burn your chametz, you know, light a fire 20 minutes before your Hadlakas Neros Shabbos. That theoretically would work to burn your chametz. However, the Shulchan Aruch says that is not our custom. The Shulchan Aruch says that our custom is to burn the chametz the same time on Friday this year, which is 2 days before Pesach, as we do every year the day before Pesach. And the reason is simple. The reason is we don't want you to get mixed up next year to think that you're allowed to burn chametz late in the afternoon. We want people to realize you have to burn chametz in the morning, 11 o'clock or so, and that's the way it is this year, that's the way it was last year, that's the way it'll be next year, and nobody should think that. Now, it happens to be, even though l'chatchil, you should burn your chametz by the early zman, the regular zman that is the zman of every year, this year, since indeed it is 2 days before Pesach, if you forgot to or you didn't get around to make it to the train station to burn your chametz, then you are still permitted to burn it with a fire later in the afternoon on Friday afternoon. However, the one thing that's different this year is that after you burn your chametz, you do not say the second bittel. Now, normally, right after you burn the chametz, you say the second bittel. You'd make the bittel chametz that encompasses the chamiseh de lo chamiseh, the biateh de lo biateh, all the chametz that I own should be batel. That won't make sense to say this year after you do your bir chametz on Friday morning, because you're going to be having challah on Shabbos, most of us, which we'll talk about shortly. So if you're going to be having challah on Shabbos, how in the world are you going to say everything should be hefker and batel? No, it's not. You're going to be having it for Shabbos. So therefore, we don't do bittel on Friday this year, like we normally do when we do the bir chametz. Rather, we're going to do our bittel chametz on Erev Pesach, on Shabbos morning, after we flush away all of the leftovers from our chametz, after our seudos on Shabbos morning, we will recite the bittel chametz on Shabbos. That will be how we'll do our second bittel chametz. Okay, let's shift now to talk about something that people, you know, the people who are in the mispalim of the shuls don't have to know as much, but it's important for rabbis to know. And that is the following. When you appoint me, your shliach, to sell your chametz for you, you're, of course, not selling me your chametz. I'm not buying your chametz. You're just appointing me your shliach to sell your chametz. Okay, so I'm going to meet with a Gentile and sell your chametz for you. Now, when will I be selling your chametz? Well, I can't meet with him like I do every year, which is on Erev Pesach in the morning, because it's Shabbos. We can't make a deal. I can't do a mechira on Shabbos. So we do it Friday morning. Now, when are we going to have the sale effective? If I'm going to sell the chametz, your chametz, I'm going to take your chametz and sell it to the guy on Friday morning. Wait a second. What about the stuff that you're going to have for Shabbos? Okay, so we'll leave that out. We won't include, when I sell the chametz to the guy, I am selling all of your chametz, all of your liquor. I'm selling all your, all the pasta, all the Cheerios that you have in your house. But I'm not going to sell to him the challah rolls that you plan on eating on Shabbos. But wait a second. What if people want to eat chametz Friday afternoon, which is fine. It's not Erev Pesach yet. It's a day and a half before Pesach. You're allowed to eat chametz. What about stores that are selling the challah on Friday afternoon? People go to the stores. People go to Gourmet Glad and Kol Save. The stores are all open Friday afternoon. They're selling their chametz. So you know what we do? When I sit with the guy, the Gentile, on Friday morning, I do the transaction with him. I do the Maisa Kinyan, but the Chalos HaKinyan, the effectiveness of the transaction, does not take place until 6-7 hours later, right before candle lighting. right before Hadlakas Neros, right before Shkia. This way, it's a classical case of a kinyan now with the chalos, the effectiveness of the transaction occurring later. And this way, everybody, even though I did the act of transaction, I did the kinyanim with the guy Friday morning, everybody still owns their chametz until Friday afternoon, late in the afternoon. The store is on their chametz late in the afternoon, the individual is on their chametz late in the afternoon, and even when that mechira does take effect on Friday afternoon, late in the day, it does not include the chametz that you will be eating for Shabbos, which brings us to a very essential point, perhaps the most essential point that I will say tonight. And that is, on a normal year, we have numerous safety nets that make sure we don't violate Bayura and Bayamatzeh. I did a bedika, I got rid of my chametz. Just in case that didn't cover everything, I did a bittel. Fine, but you know what? We usually have a third safety net. And the third safety net is, I have a mechira. I sold whatever chametz I own to the guy. So I don't own any chametz, because any chametz that I have, I sold to the guy. This year, you don't have that safety net. I'll explain what I mean. Because all the other chametz that you have, your pasta, your Cheerios, and your liquor, you sold to the guy. But the chametz that you kept for yourself for Shabbos, those chalaros that you kept for yourself, those will not be sold at all. So you have two choices. You have to either consume it yourself or flush it down the toilet, as we'll talk about later. And if you don't, there's no safety net. There's nothing like, oh, there's leftovers, and if you don't take care of that, then you will be in violation, God forbid, of owning chametz on Pesach. So you must be sure, and this we'll talk about when we get there, on Shabbos morning when this man comes, you must get rid of that chametz yourself. You can't rely on the mechira to take care of the chametz that was left over from your Shabbos meals, because that chametz was never sold to him in the first place. We excluded whatever you're going to have for your Shabbos meals from the sale to the guy. That was not part of the sale. He did not buy that, and therefore you are going to be required to get rid of that yourself. Okay, now let's go to the next point. We talked about Thursday night. We're going to talk about this. This whole shiur will be chronological. We talked about Thursday night. We talked about the beer in the morning, the chalos of the afternoon. Now let's get to Shabbos. So on Shabbos, the main discussion that we're going to be having is how to have the seudos. Now, what's the problem? The problem is that, well, it's not a problem. Baruch Hashem, we have a mitzvah of shalosh seudos on Shabbos. And the halacha of lecha mishnah. And the halacha that it has to be a seuda is with pas, with bread. On the other hand, there's an iser to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Well, I know many of you have a minhag not to eat matzah for 30 days before Pesach. Many of you who don't have that long of a minhag, okay, you still don't eat matzah from Rosh Chodesh. But me'ikar hadin, it's us to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. When does that iser begin? What I'm trying to ask, really, what my agenda is could you have matzah on Friday night? That's my agenda. So this question, could you have matzah on Friday night, and maybe even matzah in the morning, is actually a three-way machlokas rishonim, which I spoke about on Mincha Meir a few days ago. There are three opinions. One opinion says that the only time that it's usher to consume matzah, the Issa d'Rabbanan, the Chazal said, you're not allowed to have matzah on Erev Pesach, it's like Bo'al Arusasa Bebeis Chamav, that Issa only begins when the time that it's usher to eat chametz, then there's some, which is noon, chatzos, on Erev Pesach, that's the time that it's also usher to eat matzah. You know, chametz and matzah are like two sides of the coin, when there's an iser of chametz, and that's when you shouldn't eat matzah midrabanan. So according to that the iser of eating matzah begins only at chatzos of Erev Pesach, I could have matzah Friday night. I could have matzah Shabbos morning in the morning before chatzos. Maybe I could even get two meals in Shabbos morning. So I could have all three meals, theoretically, out of matzah. Theoretically, according to that opinion, it would work. However, there's another opinion. The other opinion says, the Ramban says, it's usher all day. It's usher all day. It's usher from, I'm not sure if it's the Rambam or the Ramban. The other opinion says it's usher from the morning. That's what the Mishnah Berurah passed. The Mishnah Berurah says from Alos HaShachar, it's already usher to have matzah the entire day. So you will not be able to have your Shabbos morning seuda with matzah. But according to that opinion, you could have Friday night with matzah. The problem is there's yet a third opinion of the Rishonim. Third opinion of the Rishonim says that you're not allowed to have, when Chachamim say midrabanan, you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, that included the 24-hour period of Erev Pesach. And therefore, even Friday night, we cannot eat matzah. be that as it may, even though we have three opinions, halacha l'maisa, we have the minhag not to eat matzah already from 2 weeks before Pesach, and even if not, we're still makpid not to have matzah even from the 24 hours before Pesach, and therefore we don't eat matzah on Shabbos, Erev Pesach. So we're not going to have matzah. Okay, so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have our meals, which we'll talk about shortly, how to have our Shalosh Shittos meals. So let's talk about the Friday night meal. If you read my little article or my halacha guideline, I wrote that I encourage, this is not halacha, but this is what I encourage. In order to avoid problems, I encourage you to use paper or plastic disposable dishes, plates, bowls, and cutlery for the Shabbos meals. I know it's not so kavodik. I know in a regular Shabbos, it's certainly more appropriate, more kavodik for Shabbos to have real bowls, real plates, real cutlery. But here the issues will be as follows. If you use real cutlery or real dishes, so if you're going to have chametz, that's going to be very difficult to get to wash off and get rid of. But even if you're going to have all Pesach tikka food, but if you want to wash your dishes, you're not allowed to wash your dishes on Shabbos for after Shabbos. So you're going to be sitting with dirty dishes and dirty cutlery all Shabbos long, and you're not allowed to do anything to clean them off. And then the Seder is going to come. You'll have to wash it before your Seder. Your Seder is going to get delayed. Even if you have enough cutlery for the Seder, it's going to be sitting around for the whole day. It's just much easier to use paper this Shabbos. Now, I also encourage people not to make chametz tikka food. Now, theoretically, you're allowed to eat chametz. Friday night, you can have chametz. Shabbos morning, you're allowed to eat chametz. But it's going to cause such confusion in your kitchens. It's going to cause such, you know, problems in terms of everything else is Pesach tik and you're having some chametz tik food. Just avoid, make all the food Pesach tik. The only thing that you should have that's chametz tik is the challah. Now, when we talk about challah, you don't want to buy challah loaves, a loaf of challah, because when you slice challah loaves, there's going to be a lot of crumbs. You want to have small rolls. I encourage you, I don't know what they have in the stores here, but even when you're getting the rolls, try to get small rolls. Rolls that are like, you know, like like mini rolls, because if you have a mini roll, it's easier to not worry about ripping them apart and tearing them and not finishing a challah roll. You'll just take a whole roll, eat it, two rolls and eat it, and just buy enough rolls for whatever amount of people that you need for your Friday night meal, for your Shabbos morning meal, and hopefully, as we'll speak about shortly, for a Shalosh Shittos meal that you'll hopefully get in the morning as well, which we'll talk about shortly. Now, let's say you want to use your chametz tikka dishes, because you can, theoretically. I don't advise it. Let's say you have some chametz tikka dishes. Are you allowed to pour, let's say you cooked everything on your Pesach tikka dishes. Cooked everything in your Pesach tikka pot. Now you have a pot of, let's say, cholent soup that's Pesach tik. You want to pour it into a chametz tikka bowl. Is that okay? So the Mishnah Berurah in the Shaar HaTzion says you should not pour anything that's very hot from a kli rishon into a chametz tikka kli. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav explains, because if you have a chametz tikka kli and you're pouring something hot into it, the steam will go up and connect. Nitzuk chibur, the steam will connect the chametz tikka plate on the bottom, the Pesach tikka plate on top, and that is to be avoided l'chatchila. If you did, I'm not saying it's going to make a treif, but you should avoid that. If you do want to have a real plates, chametz tikka plates, then what you could do, even if you want to, if you have a Pesach tikka pot, pour the Pesach tikka pot into a second Pesach tikka pot. Now, the food that you have in your second Pesach tikka pot is food in a kli sheni. And when you pour out of a kli sheni, that does not have enough heat to cause a problem when you pour it into a chametz tikka bowl. So I'll say that again. If you do want to pour soup or Pesach tikka cholent from your Pesach tikka pot into real bowls or real plates, first pour from pot A Pesach tik to pot B Pesach tik. Once it's in pot B Pesach tik, that pot is a kli sheni and not as hot, and from there you could go ahead and pour into your chametz tikka bowls if you would like. But again, my encouragement, my suggestion is to only use disposable dishes this one Shabbos. Okay. Now let's get to the point that everybody likes to hack about and to talk about. How are we going to do Shalosh Shittos? So before we talk about Shalosh Shittos, we should just make clear. The Isser of Zman Achilas Chametz this year, I think, is around 1046 or something like that, 1056, 1046. So you have to finish eating your Chametz. So whether you're going to have Shalosh Shittos or not, or however you will have Shalosh Shittos, you have to make sure that your first meal, you finished your challah. Remember, we said you can't have matzah, so you're going to have to use challah. So your first meal in the morning, Shabbos morning, you have to finish your challah by 10:46. In order to accomplish that, all the shuls will be davening early. Our shul will have 3 minyan, we'll have an 8 minyan, we'll have a 7:30 shachris downstairs, we'll have a 7:45 shachris upstairs. There's no 8:30, there's no 9 o'clock shachris this week. The goal there, and I won't even be talking, I won't even be giving a drasha this Shabbos, lucky you. Lucky me also. but you'll hear enough of me over the rest of the day. So there's no drasha, there's early davening. Why? So people could get home, and the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah says explicitly, Ein ma'arichim b'tfila, right? The Chazan, you hear that Chazan? Ein ma'arichim b'tfila this week. And the rabbi's not going to speak, the Chazan's not going to daven with an arichos. Quick davening to get people home and allow people to have their seuda and finish their bread before the Zman Isser Chametz, of course, at around 10:45. Now, the goal is going to be to try to get two meals in to that time slot. Because if you want to have Shalosh Shittos, there's a question among the poskim whether you could have Shalosh Shittos in the morning or not. And it's machlokas, and we'll see what to do about this machlokas. But let's say one can fulfill Shalosh Shittos in the morning, and you don't have to fulfill Shalosh Shittos in the afternoon, which is one of the other opinions. Well, if you can indeed fulfill Shalosh Shittos in the morning, so then you want to have two meals in the morning. If you want to do Shalosh Shittos ideally, in the most ideal halachic form, that would also involve bread, of course, and Lecha Mishnah. So ideally, you should have your meal in the morning right when you get home. Let's say you'll daven at 7:30. You'll get home at around 8 o'clock, 8:15. You'll get home 8:15, 8:30. So you wash, you eat your bread, and you'll finish your meal. You'll have a quick meal, not a full meal. You'll have like a half a meal, as we'll talk about a little more detail shortly. You'll finish by 9:15, 9:30. Then you'll go for a little walk. The poskim say that you have to have a break between the two meals that you're going to have, and they specifically say don't sit in your seat. Meaning you can't just sit in your seat, wait 10, 15 minutes, get up, move around, walk out of the house, go to a different room, sit and learn for half an hour, 15 minutes at least, half an hour ideally, have your break. After you have your break, you'll come sit down again and have another seuda with challah at, let's say, 10 o'clock. And you'll finish your challah by 10:30, 10:45. You'll get rid of your chametz, and then you could continue eating your the rest of your seuda shlishis now. Later, as late as you want, with whatever hot dishes you want, and take as long as you want. You could sing all the songs you want and all the Devarei Torah you want because you finished eating the chametz from both meals before the Zman Isra Achila, which is around 10:45. Now, even if you do have two meals with bread on Shabbos morning, by having that little hafsak in between, by having that little break, that little interlude in the between, there's still an opinion who says you can't have Shalosh Shittos in the morning. So ideally, and now I'm just presenting the chatchila way to do things, ideally that Shabbos afternoon, one should also have, excuse me, of course you can't have bread, you can't have challah, of course you can't have matzah either because it's Erev Pesach. So you should have something in the afternoon as well to fulfill the opinion that says that Shalosh Shittos needs to be in the afternoon, in addition to the Shalosh Shittos that you had, that second morning meal that you had before the Zman Isser Chametz. So you should try to have a snack in the Shabbos afternoon of, ideally, we'll talk about three ideals. The most ideal would be to have some knedlach. The second ideal would be to have meat or fish. The third ideal would be to have fruits and vegetables and some other kinds of snack that's not meat or fish. But the best idea would be to have knedlach, because knedlach is mezonos and salam mechia, and that you could have, it's kosher le Pesach. It's not considered matzah because it's boiled. It's crushed into small particles. It's matzah meal that's boiled in water, in a kli rishon, boiled up in a pot. So therefore, if you have the knedlach in the afternoon, that will fulfill the din of shalashuddis. And you also fulfilled shalashuddis with bread because you had two meals in the morning. And that would be the most ideal form to have your meals this Shabbos. But not everybody could do the most ideal form, and we'll talk about other possibilities in just a moment. I have to remind you that even if you will have knedlach or anything that's mezonos on Shabbos afternoon, on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, keep in mind that after a certain point in the day, I don't have the time on me, it's 10 hours into the day. Not sure if that's going to be 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. I'm sorry, I don't have that time. Do I have that in my on my guide? Did I write it a time? Yeah, I think I wrote a time. Hold on. 4:06. After 4:06 p.m. this Shabbos, you cannot have any mezonos whatsoever. Even if it's a knedel, even if it's some people hold you're allowed to have mezonos cakes on Shabbos in the afternoon, but nothing, no mezonos after 4:06 on Shabbos afternoon on Erev Pesach. 4:06 is 10 hours into the day, and you're not allowed to have any, forget about chametz, forget about bread, forget about matzah, but even mezonos, knedlach, you can't have after 4:06. Fine. Now, before we go into some other possibilities of how to have your shalosh seudos this Shabbos, I want to point out a few halachas that relate to the seudos before we, and then we'll talk about some other ways to do shalosh seudos. Point number one, are you allowed to have kitnios Friday night and Shabbos morning? So when you're dealing with kitnios, you want to deal anything that is going to be kitnios in the house. Sometimes you have people who have babies and baby bottles and baby formula that's kitnios. Sometimes you have older people in the house, and they drink Ensure, E-N-S-U-R-E, for as a nutritional supplement. Those are often with kitnios, and kitnios is permitted for children, for babies, and for people who are, you know, can't eat regularly. The older and more infirm people, but you want to keep all the kitnios away from the Pesach Tikka utensils. So you do the kitnios in the bathroom sink or on a counter away from the regular food prep areas in your kitchen. But what if you want to have a real chalent with beans this Shabbos? Could you do that? The answer is a resounding yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can have your chalent with beans. You can have Friday night. You can have a bean soup Friday night. You could have hummus Friday night. You could have Kashlu Pesach hummus, of course, just the chickpeas are kitnias, and you could have kitnias in the morning. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's explicitly in Taf Mem Daled, Mivashlin Orez, rice, o kitnios, both at night and in the morning meal. But from a practical perspective, you don't want to get any of that material next to your kalim. So if you do want to have a bean chalent on Shabbos morning, you could do it, but use an aluminum foil pan and prepare it separately. You know, prepare the beans in a place that's far away from your regular Pesach prep area. Make sure that it doesn't, the kitnios doesn't spill onto your wherever surface you're going to be heating it. If you're going to have a hot plate on or you'll have a blech on, you make sure you line the foil because you don't want any of the beans to spill over. Seal with aluminum foil around the top very well. So it's doable, but just be careful and keep it away from your Pesach Tikka Kelim. Of course, I'm going to assume that you're going to use disposable cutlery if you do it in disposable dishes, not your Pesach Tikka cutlery, your Pesach Tikka dishes with the kitnias, but it is doable. It's hard, and you have to make it a Melechus Mashemes, but you could have your bean chalent if you do want to. Now, let's say you have your meals on Shabbos, and you want to have Lechem Mishnah, of course. The problem is you don't have enough rolls to have Lechem Mishnah because you want to minimize the amount of rolls that you have. Are you allowed to use matzah? Well, you're not allowed to eat matzah. So if you're not allowed to eat the matzah, could matzah still be used as part of your Lechem Mishnah? So I saw in the Dir Shem Mishnah Berurah that the Chazon Ish indeed says you are allowed to use matzah. Even though you're not allowed to eat the matzah, you can use matzah for Lechem Mishnah. And the Stipler suggested that you keep the matzah wrapped up so it doesn't touch the your right. You're putting matzah. You're going to have on Pesach next to a challah roll. Terrifying. So the Steifa said it's okay if you have that matzah in a plastic bag, and it's next to your challah roll. You'll throw out the plastic bag. You'll get rid of the plastic bag. You'll protect the matzah, and even though it's not out. Usually you think, lechemish, you want to hold the two breads in your hand right next to each other. Says the stipler, that's okay, even if one of them is wrapped in plastic, you could still do that for lechemish. At least this Shabbos, you could definitely do that. Now, there's an interesting shita of the Prima Gadim who suggests that the matzah that you're going to use for the Lel Seder, the matzah's mitzvah, it's muktzah. Wow, typically we don't think of food as being muktzah, but there are very rare instances when food is muktzah. But here, you paid, you know, $30 a pound, halavai 30, $32 a pound, $40 a pound. If you have charedim, $60 a pound. You paid a lot of money for this matzah, and you're not just going to, it's not for any just snacking. You don't pay $60 a pound for your cookies in the bakery. You pay $60 a pound because you want this to be your Maaseh Mitzvah. And therefore, the Prima Gadim says, since it's designated only to use at the Seder, and you're very careful, it shouldn't break, it should, nothing else should happen to it, so you're putting it aside, the Prima Gadim holds that Maaseh Mitzvah is Muktzah. Other poskim are lenient and say, no, how could you say that that the Maaseh is Mutter? How could you say that it's going to be Muktzah without getting into that? So, there's a machlokas whether the matzah you're going to use at the Seder is muktzah. But maybe forget about the matzah's mitzvah. The very fact that you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach should make it muktzah. You're not allowed to eat this food the whole day, so it should be muktzah. So there's reason to be mekel because Friday night Meikar Hadin it was mutter. So you're going to say it becomes muktzah on Shabbos day. We hold Ein Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, that it can't become Muktzah in the middle of the day in normal circumstances. And since Friday night, the Matzah of Mikra Hadid was not yet Usser, I mentioned there was an opinion who says it is, but most opinions hold that it's not Usser to have Matzah Friday night. So Shabbos morning, the Isser starts, you can't become Muktzah on Shabbos morning. Furthermore, even though we're not allowed to eat Matzah on Erev Pesach, there is a population who is permitted to eat Matzah. Who's that? Who could eat matzah on Erev Pesach? Well, if the whole reason you don't want to eat matzah on Erev Pesach is because you want to be eat the matzah at night l'tayavon, I mean, with enthusiasm at the Seder, well, if you have a little kid, a one-year-old, a two-year-old, maybe a three-year-old, who doesn't participate in the Seder, who there's no mitzvah of chinuch and they can't understand the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, well, they don't have this issur of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. Because what's the point? So that they'll be able to eat matzah tonight at 9:30 at night, they're going to be in bed at 7. And there's no need to keep your two-year-old up for the Seder. Two-year-olds are too young to be educated and to learn about the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Three-year-old we could start to talk about, but a one-year-old, two-year-old, no need to put them to sleep before the Seder. And, well, if they're not going to be at the Seder, they could eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So since they could eat matzah on Erev Pesach, the matzah will not be chametz. The matzah will not be muktzah. That's what some of the Achronim say. The matzah will not be muktzah because it's ro'i for to be eaten by toddlers. If you have toddlers around, if there are no toddlers around, no babies around, you won't have that leniency. Okay. I want to share with you an incredible... Okay, we'll leave that out. I'll share with you an incredible Chasam Sofer. Incredible Chasam Sofer. He says, again, I don't think this is so practical, but it's just an incredible... I think you'll appreciate the idea that he's going to put forth. Let's say you don't have... You didn't buy, your house is Pesach thick, your wife says, or you said, no chametz in the house, you're not going to have any rolls. You're not going to buy challah rolls, it's Shabbos. Okay? So you don't have challah rolls, it's Shabbos. You thought, maybe, which we'll talk about soon, you were going to use egg matzah, but you forgot to buy egg matzah. So you don't have egg matzah, which we'll talk about in a minute. You don't have challah rolls. All you have is real matzah. Are you allowed to have real matzah on Shabbos if there's nothing else to have your Shabbos seuda? On one hand, it's Asa Derabanan. It's a real, genuine, bona fide Issa Derabanan to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah Derabanan to have bread at the meals on Shabbos. So the Chasam Sofer I saw in the Dirshu says something incredible. He says that the Seudas Shabbos is Midoraisa. And the mitzvah to have a Seudas Shabbos is Docha, the Isser of Achilas Matzah on Erev Pesach. And therefore, if you don't have anything else and all you had is matzah, you shouldn't be in this situation. But if all you have is matzah, regular matzah, you don't have egg matzah, you don't have challah rolls, all you have is regular matzah, then Me'ikr Hadin, the Chasam Sofer says, the mitzvah saseh of having your seuda on Shabbos with challah is going to be docha the isur drabanan of not eating matzah if that's all you have. And it would be permitted under such a circumstance to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. That's a fascinating collector's item from the Chasam Sofer. Okay, but that's not a normal circumstance. Now, when you're having your challahs, I told you, you go to the bakery on Friday morning, you should buy, let's say, the example that I also gave in my written guide that some of you read in the email, let's say you have six people in your table, and you're going to have a Friday night meal, Shabbos morning meal, and hopefully Suda Shlishis, all with challah, all with enough time before 10:45 Shabbos morning. So how many challah rolls are you going to buy? Well, you're going to buy six for Friday night, one per person, six for the first meal, six for the second meal Shabbos morning. So you're going to have a total of, you'll buy 18 challah rolls. No more, no less. You don't want to have extras. You want to have a little bit of extra just so you could flush it down the toilet to be Mekayim Tashbisu, to Mekayim the mitzvah of destroying chametz on Erev Pesach. But other than that, you don't really want to have leftovers. So don't buy abundantly. Normally on Shabbos, you want to have food in abundance. Let the meat be abundant. Let the salads be abundant. Let the potatoes be abundant. Let the kugels be abundant. Let not the challah be abundant. Be careful. Buy just the amount of challah that you need. Err on the side of caution. You don't want to have extra challah around. But keep in mind, even if you're going to have a minimal amount of challah, when we say that you have to have a meal, you have to have a kezias, right? You have to have a kezias of bread. However, not everybody realizes that in order to say the bracha of al natilas yadayim, a kezias of bread is not sufficient. You need a kebetza of bread. So you want to make sure that you have a kebetza of bread. You're not going to have a lot of bread, but you'll have a kebetza of bread at each meal to say an al natilas yadayim. You all know how big an egg is. And the size of a big egg, that's a kebetza that you could rely on for of bread to make sure you have that amount of bread for your Shabbos meals. Now, when we talk about the challahs that you're going to have on Shabbos, what I encourage you, and I wrote this in the guide, you could read the guide to be reminded, when you set up your table on Shabbos, don't set the table because it will make things complicated. Leave your table bare and put down a plastic tablecloth. When you have your plastic tablecloth, on top of your plastic tablecloth, take tissues and put two or three tissues in front of each person's plate, or where their plate should be. And you'll put the challah rolls on top, the challah that each person will have, each person will eat their challah on that tissue, or two tissues. After you have your Friday night meal, your Shabbos morning meal, your challah shudis in the morning, meal, you'll eat the challah that you eat, and that tissue that you ate over, you'll take the tissue, you'll crumble it up carefully, and you'll flush the tissues down the toilet. Then you'll take the plastic tablecloth and you'll shake it outdoors. It will probably be clean because you ate on top of the tissues, but if there are any crumbs on it, you'll take it and shake it outdoors, and then you'll dispose of the clean tablecloth in the garbage. Then your table is clean. There's not a speck of chametz, God forbid, on your table because you had it on top of a tissue, on top of a plastic tablecloth. And now set the table with your whatever, hopefully, disposable plates and cutlery that you'll have your seuda with. You do that same model Friday night, Shabbos morning, seuda shlishis. Again, eat the challah over a tissue that you could flush the tissue down the toilet with whatever crumbs are in it. Disposable tablecloth is protecting the table and whatever's underneath the tablecloth. That also you're going to take right outside and shake outside the outdoors, and then you'll throw out that disposable tablecloth. That's, I think, the safest. I'm not saying that's halachic to do it as I'm saying, but that's just the safest way that I could conjure up of having your Shabbos sudas with challah. Now, some people just don't want challah in the house. Especially if you have little kids. Because little kids, even though you tell them don't eat it over here, you know what happens. They can run around, they can rip it around, who knows what they're going to do. So especially if you have little kids, you know, toddlers, little kids, and you're worried about having any chametz at all in the house, there is another option. You could have matzah ashira, egg matzah, in the place of your challah rolls. But the but is that egg matzah is not, first of all, Ashkenazim treat it as chametz. It's not really chametz, but we treat it as chametz. And therefore, you also don't want to have it after, you don't want to eat any of it, I'm sorry. Except egg matzah is permitted for those who can't eat, who need it because of their health reasons, or elderly are permitted to eat egg matzah. But other than that, we treat egg matzah as chametz. I know it sounds funny, but that's how we treat egg matzah. Unless the person is elderly or the infirm or a little child, we do not eat egg matzah on Pesach at all. That's Ashkenazi custom. Now, so you're not going to have egg matzah past 10:45 a.m. on Shabbos morning, but you could have your egg matzah for your first three meals. The challenge is, and the reason why I did not present egg matzah as an ideal, is because egg matzah, is really mizonos. It's not really bread. It's like cookies. It's like crackers. So would you want to make your Shabbos meal on crackers? Well, if you need to, you can. How so? If you have a lot of it. If you had a lot of it. So whereas I was telling you by the challahs, you want to have a minimal amount of challah, just the kibetza per person. If you're going to make your sudas with egg matzah because you're scared that kids will throw around crumbs, and you don't want to have any chametz in the house. So the second best option would be to make your Shabbos meals, use your bread instead of bread, use crackers. The crackers being egg matzah, because it's not chametz. There's no bayirah, bayimatzeh on egg matzah. But at the same time, it could be considered bread. How? If you make it the staple of a meal. The halacha is, whenever you have mizonos, pasva bekisman, if you make your pasva bekisman, if you have crackers, a lot of times people eat crackers with tuna fish. You know those Ritz crackers? Sometimes people have a whole sleeve of Ritz crackers with tuna fish, with hummus, with egg salad. If you have a whole sleeve of Ritz crackers with tuna fish or egg salad, you have to wash and bench on that. So that's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to take these crackers, this mizonos crackers, which is egg matzah, and use it as your bread of your meal. So you should try, if you do choose that option, which again is not ideal as challah, but if you, because you're scared of the little kids throwing the challah around or any other unusual situation, so you can rely, as Rav Moshe Feinstein says in the Chelek Aleph of Orach Chaim, you can use egg matzah. And if you use egg matzah, try to have a lot of the matzah. Try to have, if you can, two full egg matzahs, which is a lot. But if you can't, less is probably okay because it's part of a meal, but you should try to eat a good amount of the egg matzah because you're turning crackers into your bread. To do that, you should have a lot of it. Okay. Now, if you do that model, so you could do that Friday night with the egg matzah, Shabbos morning with egg matzah, and again, for your third meal in the morning, again, you could only have egg matzah until 10:45. Just like you can only have chametz until 10:45. Those are two models through which a person can have their meals on Shabbos. Let's now present yet a third model, not for the first two meals, because there are only two options, either egg matzah or bread. But at least for challah shudas, some people, you eat a meal, you had matzah or your challah roll, your egg matzah or your challah rolls Shabbos morning when you came home from shul, you don't have the stomach to have another meal half an hour later. When I mean a meal, I mean you shouldn't have the first meal that you have Shabbos morning, you shouldn't have a 12-course meal. You should have your matzah, you should have some salad, you should have gefilte fish, and then bench. And then wait a half an hour, go for a walk, and then have your meal with your Pesach tikkun challah and your meat and your chicken and your hot kugels. Or maybe have some of the nicer food of the first meal, because that's the second meal of Shabbos, the middle meal of Shabbos, the lunch of Shabbos, the middle meal of Shabbos is supposed to be the nicest. So maybe have some meat at the first meal. And then the second meal, you'll have the challah shudas that you have at like 10:15. You'll have a little bit lighter than the first meal that you had that morning. But if you feel that you can't have that third meal earlier in the day, so then you'll have challah shudas later in the day. How do you do that? So I said, ideally, if you're going to have challah shudas, ideally it should be with bread or matzah. Well, after 10:45, you can't have bread. After 10:45, you can't have egg matzah. The only mizonos that you can have after 10:45 in the morning is going to be something like kneidlach. You can't have matzah either because you can have matzah tonight at the Seder. So you could have kneidlach. So if somebody's not going to have their seuda, their shalosh shudas in the morning, then they should definitely go out of their way to cook kneidlach so they could have kneidlach on Shabbos afternoon, but early in the afternoon. Because remember, once it's 4:06 p.m., 10 hours into the day, one is not permitted to have any mezonos whatsoever. So you would have your single meal in the morning. You feel you can't have a third meal, meaning the second meal of the morning, by 10:45. Okay, I understand. You're too stuffed. I understand. So sometime after chatzos in the afternoon, which is around 1 o'clock, sometimes between 1 and 4 p.m., make sure you have a shalosh shudas meal with kneidlach. And there, you're not going to wash, you're not going to bench, and therefore it's not as ideal in terms of fulfilling the mitzvah of shalosh shudas, but at least you're having your shalosh shudas with kneidlach. If you didn't prepare kneidlach, so at least you'll have a shalosh shudas of meat or fish. And if you don't have meat or fish, then at least have a shalosh shudas in the afternoon of fruits and vegetables. But it's shalosh shudas is a halacha. So even though some people are not as careful with it, this is the opportunity to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're really going out of your way to fulfill the mitzvah of shalosh shudas, sudah shlishis, and that's something that we should all strive for. Okay.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Let me present to you. We went through the main halachos, the main meat of the discussions, but I want to point out a few interesting halachos that do apply to this Shabbos. Let's say you do the ideal version of the seudos that I presented to you, which is having a Shabbos meal in the morning, right when you come home from shul, a small meal, benching, waiting 15 minutes or a half an hour, and then washing again, and finishing that bread, that challah, by 10:45 Shabbos morning. Let's say you want to have salad at that shalosh shudas, that second meal that you're going to have Shabbos morning. When are you going to cut up that salad? You're going to cut up that salad early in the morning? The women will cut up the salad while their husbands are at that. The women might not want to, they're not going to be as many women in shul this Shabbos because davening is going to be at either Nate's or 7:30 or 7:45. So there are going to be fewer women in shul. So maybe while the men are in shul, their wives will cut up the salad. Well, wait a second. Normally, you're allowed to cut up a salad right before a meal. We're worried about tochein. Tochein means you're not allowed to cut vegetables into small pieces. So if it's right before a meal, okay, there's room to be lenient and permit cutting up a salad right before a meal. But that's only permitted right before the meal, a special dinner of la'altar, immediately before the meal. You're not permitted to cut up a salad in small pieces for something that you'll have after the first meal, for a second meal later, even in 45 minutes or an hour later. That's not permitted. That's not considered la'altar. So if you will have a salad, cut up vegetables, diced vegetables, for your, what we're calling su'udah shlishis, your later, your second breakfast, your later, your second meal, Shabbos morning, well, either have a salad that doesn't have to have diced vegetables, or have it prepared before Shabbos, or prepare it in that half-hour break that you have, that you're taking between the two meals. But don't do it before the first meal for the second meal, because that would be tochein, that is not considered alta, that's not immediate. Okay, now we're up to the basically the final stretch, which is cleaning up. Cleaning up from your chametz. So I told you the best way to eat your chametz is on tissues so that you could throw the tissues and discard the tissues in the toilet. The Shulchan Aruch says that after you eat your chametz on Shabbos, you should take the tablecloth and shake it out. Now, I want to just clarify what shaking it out is. He's saying you could even shake it out in your house. Now, I know none of your the women would never let us shake a chametz stick, a tablecloth on the floor. But the Shulchan Aruch says that you could do that. Why? Because the halacha is, if you have a crumb that's pachas mikazayas, and it's dirty because it's on the floor, you don't have to worry about chametz. You don't have to worry about bal yirah bal yimatzeh. I know no one in our neighborhood would allow chametz crumbs on the floor in our houses. I know that. But you should just know that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. After you eat the meal, you should take the tablecloth and you drop it on the floor. Okay, so we would never do it in our house, but you used to do it outside the house. But the same issue, even though there are crumbs that are falling on the floor, the crumbs are still there. You didn't destroy them. Don't you have to destroy the chametz? Well, since they're crumbs and they're on the floor, they're dirtied, so there's no halacha to... You don't have to be worried about those crumbs. So I'm not telling anybody to shake off the tablecloth in the house, shake off the tablecloth outside. If you live in an apartment building, shake the tablecloth outside the window and let the crumbs flutter to the ground, and they'll be dirty. They'll be small crumbs, dirty. You don't have to worry about it. Somebody asked me, they have a non-Jewish cleaning lady that will be with them on Shabbos, or a babysitter, or it could be an aide. Could they just give all their chametz, whatever's left over, instead of flushing down the toilet? Why should they be so limiting of how much chametz they have? Let them buy as much chametz as they have delicious chametz for the first two meals by 10:45. Whatever's left over, they'll give to their cleaning lady. So here, Shulchan Aruch talks about the fact that you're not really supposed to give food to a Gentile to take out of your house. But that might only be a problem if it's a Rishus HaRabim. You're not allowed to tell a guy to do a malacha, to take food out into Rishus HaRabim. But if it's like we live in what's called a Carmelis, which is only outside your house, we have an Eruv, so there's no problem taking food out of your house. So you could have the guy take the food, whatever you have left, out of your house. One second. Assuming he's not going to be... better to avoid having too much chametz. So Mekar Hadin, if anybody has that case, you could look at the Shulchan Aruch, Taf Mem Dalet, and we could talk about it another time. Somebody just asked me a question I see on the chat, an excellent question. Could you wash, eat the challahs outside, then continue the meals inside? Now, typically that should be avoided. Because there's a shilas of Shinui Makam, I don't want to get into the Shinui Makam shilas. Again, if you have little kids, it's a little more room for being lenient. But typically, if you're going to be sitting outside and then having a meal inside, so as far as the halachas of brachos are concerned, it's questionable if your brachos from outside could work for being inside. And where you're going to bench and where you're going to eat, it's better to avoid that. If you have little kids, then maybe eat the bread outside or have matzah shira. Or eat the bread. If you have a covered porch, then it's more room to be lenient. But you shouldn't try to have the meal in one place and the food in another place. If you want to have the whole meal outside, as this person is chatting with me, if you want to have the whole meal outside, then yeah, you could have the whole meal outside. But you know, if you're careful, again, if you're careful, then you could have it under control. If you want to have the whole meal outside, yeah, you could definitely have the whole meal outside. But keep in mind that if it's outside, you have to be careful. You're not supposed to sweep outdoors on Shabbos. You're allowed to sweep your inside of your house on Shabbos, but outdoors is a gzeir d'rabbanan that you might come to sweep the floor of a dirt floor, and which would be meshava gumos, and which is a problem of choresh. And therefore, there's a gzeir d'rabbanan that we don't sweep outdoors on Shabbos. So if you're going to eat on the deck, I'm not convinced that you're allowed to sweep your deck on Shabbos. If you have a guy, the guy could sweep the deck on Shabbos. But so inside, you have the ability that you could sweep the floor. Outside, you can't sweep the floor. So I'm not sure that outside will definitely be better. I see somebody else asked me a question. Okay, somebody asked a great question. Normally, we say that if you have... what's a good example? If you have dust on clothing, let's say you brush it, as you're walking, you brush against your shoulder, brushes against the wall, and you get dust on your shirt, on your sleeve, on your jacket. So on Shabbos, you're not allowed to brush it off. That's an isser of malabain. So the person asks, when you shake out the crumbs from the tablecloth, is that a problem? The answer is that crumbs usually are not small enough and embedded enough to be considered problematic, and therefore it is, certainly if it's on a plastic tablecloth, which is what I suggested, it's going to be fine because they don't embed themselves at all in the plastic. But even if it's a cloth tablecloth, you are permitted to shake out a tablecloth from crumbs, because crumbs are big enough that it's not like dust that gets into the fabric. It sits on the top because the crumbs are a little bit bigger, and it is okay to shake out a tablecloth. And the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly those words, shake out the tablecloth on Shabbos. So yes, you are permitted to shake out a tablecloth on Shabbos. There's no problem of melabe. Okay, let's finish off with one or two more points as far as the afternoon. Keep in mind the afternoon, you are not permitted to have any mizonos, as we mentioned earlier, after 4:06. Nothing to do with Shabbos, nothing to do with Shalosh Shabbos. You can't have any mizonos ever after in the late hours of Erev Pesach. If you have a kid, again, who's a 2-year-old, a 1 or a 2-year-old who wants to eat, you can give them matzah. There's no reason for them to have matzah. The Shulchan Aruch says, and again, this relates to Pesach every year, there are those who have the minhag not to have chazeres on Erev Pesach, so that you should have the maror l'teyavon, and therefore also not to have chazeres on the first day of Pesach, not Shabbos, but Sunday, so you could have the maror l'teyavon Sunday night at the second Seder. And according to that, one should be careful that if you're going to have a salad, do not have a salad with romaine lettuce. Do not have a romaine lettuce salad, because the romaine lettuce salad is going to be a salad, but you're going to have it as matzah tonight on Motzei Shabbos or on Sunday night. So you should not have a romaine lettuce salad. Tell the cooks, no romaine lettuce salad this Shabbos lunch, nor for Sunday lunch, because that will take away from the enthusiasm of eating the romaine lettuce at the Seder. Hold on, please. The Rama also suggests that on the first day of Sukkah, on the first day of Pesach, that's Sunday afternoon, you shouldn't eat too much matzah. Let's say you love matzah with jelly. You love matzah with, I don't know what, whatever you like. Everybody has their own favorite dip for matzah. Try not to have too much matzah, because even though, okay, it is the first day of Pesach, you already had the first night last night, but before the second Seder, you also don't want to have too much matzah. For the same reason, you want to have some appetite for matzah. Interestingly enough, what about eating apples on Erev Pesach, right? Apples are going to be in the charoses. The Rama says that those who are machmir not to eat fruit because you're going to have the charoses that night, he says you don't have to worry about that minhag. That's not a minhag you need to be concerned about. One or two finishing points for the men. This is addressed to the men. Friday night, you'll be in shul, and you're going to want to get home, and we're going to say, you should start your Seder right away, right after it says start the Seder right away. And you're going to come, I'm sorry, Motzei Shabbos, I mean. Motzei Shabbos, you're going to come home, and you're going to want to start the Seder right away. And you're going to get home, and the table's not going to be set. And the pillows are not going to be ready. And there's a very easy tendency to get frustrated, get annoyed. It's not worth it. It's not worth getting annoyed. It's not worth getting frustrated. If you come home and things aren't ready, you know what you do? You help get things ready. You set the table, you go upstairs and get the pillows, don't make other people do it, don't expect other people to do it for you. It's a time of chayr for you, it's also a time of chayr for the people who are at home. So not everything is ready, and also there's not enough time to get things ready in Motzei Shabbos because of the... you can't do any preparations. I should have made that. I have to make this point also. You're not allowed to do any preparations whatsoever for the Seder on Shabbos afternoon. You're not allowed to wash dishes. You're not allowed to prepare any preparation. You're not allowed to set the table. No preparations whatsoever are permitted on Shabbos for the Seder. So everything has to start when Shabbos is first over, 50 minutes after Shkia, which is around, I don't know, 8 something. So just around 8 o'clock or so, whatever the time is, you'll check the luach. But when you come home, you're probably going to have to, from shul, the men are going to come home from shul, make sure you lend a hand and make sure you help set the table, prepare the pillows, and do whatever else need to be done. If that means the Seder will be a little bit delayed, it is whatever it is. You don't have a choice. It's Motzei Shabbos. It's going to be a little bit delayed. But if you would have everything ready to roll, like have all the stuff you need for that first Seder in a way that could be quickly put out after Shabbos, that would be the goal. As far as some other halachos, in terms of preparing for Shabbos before Shabbos, so the roasted eggs, this is now talking, I'm talking about what you should do on Friday to prepare for the Seder a day and a half later. You can't roast the eggs or the Zroah on Shabbos. Of course, you want to roast the eggs, you want to roast the Zroah for the two Sedarim already Friday. You want to prepare the salt water. Salt water stays fine. Salt water stays fine over a day and a half. So prepare the salt water. You want to grind the horseradish. Because if you're going to grind the horseradish Motzei Shabbos, it's going to take you a long time. The special halacha is how to grind on Yontif. I don't want to get into that now. If you do grind horseradish on Yontif, you have to do a shinui. You have to grind it not into a bowl, but onto the table itself. So I encourage you to grind the horseradish on Friday and seal it very tightly. When you seal it in a container, you could put a plastic bag on the top of the container and then put the jar and then close the jar. It keeps the heat inside well. You want to prepare your charoses also on Friday because that will also delay your meal Friday night. I'm sorry, Motzei Shabbos, your Seder. You also want to wash your romaine lettuce. You want to check the romaine lettuce on Shabbos. Very important. Sometimes people store their romaine lettuce with some water on the bottom to keep it fresh. Keep in mind, any romaine lettuce that is soaked in water for 24 hours is considered mevushel, and it's pasul for the maror. So if you have your romaine lettuce sitting in a little tub that has water on the bottom of the tub, the bottom section that's in the water is pasul for maror. So either don't have any water on the bottom, or if you are going to have water on the bottom, you're going to have to cut off the bottoms of your maror. I think you're probably going to forget to do that. So when you prepare your maror on Erev Shabbos, on Friday afternoon, when you rinse off your maror, make sure you don't have a layer of liquid in the basin that's going to hold your maror, contain your maror for the Seder. Let me just see if I have anything else I want to add before I'll take your questions. In the afternoon, of course, Shabbos afternoon, I said you can't have any mezonos after 4:06, and even in general, you want to make sure you're not filled. You don't fill yourself. You can have snacks, you have drinks and light snacks, but you want to make sure you have a hearty appetite. And the time 8:05, so you're not allowed to do any preparations for the Seder. You can't do any hadlakas neros until Shabbos is over at 8:05 p.m. Or if you hold a little bit later, then it's a little bit later than that. Whatever you hold for Motzei Shabbos. Okay, any questions? Anybody want to ask a question either out loud or in the chat or anything else? Any questions before we end the shiur?
Okay, a question.
Yes.
Somebody asked me, you know, if they want to have, they sell the schnapps for Pesach. Mm-hmm. They want to have a little bit schnapps, you know, Friday night, Chometz Diga schnapps.
Okay.
According to what you said, I mean, whatever's left, you got to throw out. You can't put it back.
So if you want to have a little bit of chametz tikka schnapps on Friday night or Shabbos morning, so you can. Keep in mind a few things. First of all, you have to. It's not going to be included in the sale because that's what you're having for Shabbos.
Right.
Second of all, you want to use plastic containers, plastic cups, because that whatever's left in the cup is real chametz. What are you going to do with that? You're going to have to wash out that plastic cup before you throw it out. You're going to have to rinse it out, which is mutter, because you're not rinsing out for Pesach. You're rinsing it out because you have to destroy the chametz on Erev Pesach, on Shabbos. So before 11:45, the Zman of Bir Chametz, you will have to, A, finish all the liquor that you left for yourself. So you have to finish the whole rest of the bottle.
Right.
Pour it down the toilet, which is, you know, another option, you know, a shame, but I guess it's better than making yourself a shikr on Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. There's a lot of other good productive things you could do. You could read the Haggadah instead of making yourself drunk. And you'll also have to rinse out the cups well to get rid of the whatever remaining schnapps is inside the cup. So it could be done, but it has to be a Melachas Machshavas. Thoughtfully. Any other questions? Okay, so I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, a wonderful Yontif.
In the discussion about Gebrachs, what about about the Kalim? If you're makbid on Gebrachs, what do you do?
Oh, so you're not talking about Kinyas, you're talking about Gebrachs. So people who don't eat Gebrachs, you want to know, could you have Gebrachs on the first day on Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos?
Yeah. With regard to also, what do you do about the kalim?
So if you're gonna, you're not gonna on Shabbos, you're not gonna be able to wash anything. I'm assuming the people who, if you're gonna have gebrachs, I assume you should probably use disposable kalim. If you're makbid on gebrachs and you want to have gebrachs like matzo balls on Friday, do people who have gebrachs on Erev Pesach? In the afternoon? I don't know.
I think
if you're not, if you don't eat Gebrachs on Pesach, you probably don't eat Gebrachs on Pesach, Erev Pesach in the afternoon. So you want to know about Erev Pesach in the morning. So yeah.
And what about cooking it? The kalim, I mean, what do you do with the...
So the kalim, you should probably transfer it to you should transfer it to aluminum foil before Pesach, before Shabbos. That would be, and therefore you're only dealing with aluminum foil, just throw it out after you're finished with it. You're not going to be able to wash it out. Could you wash it out? That's a good question. You can't wash it out for Pesach, but you want to wash it out to get rid of the Gebrachs. I switch it to aluminum foil pans before Shabbos. Don't have any kalim that you'll don't have any kalim. Yeah.
Now my wife is saying that if you use it messes up the kalim, because if you're machben on gebrachs, what do? You can't use a Pesach keli for gebrachs.
So I'm not machben for gebrachs. So I don't know what the minhagim are so clearly, but I would assume if you don't eat gebrachs, so don't use gebrachs in your kalim this year. And use just aluminum foil, right? Use aluminum foil, right? They usually wait a year afterwards. So by the eighth day of Pesach, then you waited a year. So right, you don't use Pesach Tikka Kalim for your gebrachs because that would cause a problem on Pesach for those who don't eat gebrachs. That's correct. Thank you for that. Yes. Any other questions? Okay. Great. So I'm sure you'll think of questions right after I press the end button. And thank you, Mrs. Sai, for your Chag Kasher Sameach wishes. Another question. According to the opinion that matzah is muktzah, would machine matzah, which is also much cheaper, also be muktzah? You're saying to use that matzah as your second challah because it's not your matzah mitzvah. If it's not your matzah mitzvah, so according to the opinions that say it's muktzah because according to the opinions who say that matzah is muktzah because it's asr ba'achila, so machine matzah is also asr ba'achila on Erev Pesach. According to the opinion, so if you have little kids, so you're allowed to, you know, like a one-year-old and a two-year-old, they could eat the matzah, so it's not muktzah. So you should avoid, but it's not matzah's mitzvah. Let me think for a second. If you need it for, Lecha Mishnah, you could handle the matzah. If you don't need it for Lecha Mishnah, let me think for a second. I'm sorry. I'm just confused for a second. If you have matzah mitzvah that you shouldn't use, but regular matzah, I don't think would be mikra hadin. I think it could be lenient. And regular matzah, that's not the shmur matzah you're going to use for the night. That I don't think you have to be worried about being muktzah. If you need to handle it, you could. It should be no worse than a klishim lachtel iser, but we're not getting into that. Mikra din, you could handle regular matzah. If it's matzah's mitzvah, try to avoid handling it. Leave it in the box, wherever it is. To be machmer for the prima gadim. Yeah.
You have been listening to a presentation of benstorah.com.